back here on the second guest show. Mike to tell you along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside, right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bobby J and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight. And with us, he's here each and every Monday, we do the Silver Slipper, Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper.
Oh, man, great to have you all back again.
Dave, great to be back. And, man, it's starting to warm up, so I know the summer's right around the corner.
Oh, man, people all over the beach all this past weekend, man.
We came here. We could see them. Yeah. Everybody's walking the beach, so you know it's summertime. Dave, tell everybody kind of how you think the draft turned out for the Saints.
You know, I mean, they had a broad spectrum of players. I really like the offensive lineman. The guy's a beast, man. And the quarterback was pretty darn intriguing. I mean, you know, just to see, I mean, had a great senior year, you know, 7-year college.
Yes, good-looking family members.
I bet you're smoking hot wife.
The wife.
He noticed that. I had to tell him about the dog a little bit later, but he spotted the rest of the crew.
They had a lot of blondes hooping and hollering.
What Kellen Moore saw, did remind Kellen Moore of himself in college or something? Because I saw Kellen Moore average about 3,000 yards a game. And that.
One thing, Kellen Moore couldn't throw the ball like what Chuck could. Man, Chuck got an arm.
Yeah, he was more mechanical. Would always do the right thing. But
he was a dink and dunk type of passer. No, Chuck can really.
What he did at Boise State, though,
he put up some huge.
Kellen Moore is one of the greatest college quarterbacks ever.
Yeah, absolutely, and but it's been interesting to see how it all goes down. And you know, you've been pretty good cross mix of a lot of different players, from linebackers, defensive tackles, backfield. So,
You know what, Dave? You know what I like, and remember this. He can't get exploited in the pass game. He's man-to-man because he's so aggressive. But, you know, I've said this term a number of times on this show in a number of years. Danny Stutzman, the linebacker of Oklahoma, he'll knock a snot bubble. How many times have you ever seen him like a snot bubble? You know, when you're coming downhill, because, you know, you can't hit the quarterback, but you can hit the other players. Danny Stutzman, the linebacker from Oklahoma, you know how we gave up almost 5 yards a run last year? Well, you know, we got to occupy the blockers up front, and you let the linebackers flow. Danny Stutzman's coming downhill and will knock the crap out of you. So that's a good thing. So I think we got that on the Saints, and DeMario Davis is getting up in age. So I'm intrigued to see, like, because the Hooter Nation, you know, we still love it. Now, you're supposed to be like, oh, you don't want nobody to get hit too hard because you could get a concussion. And this day and age... Excuse me, but he will hit you so hard that you'll notice that and you'll cheer for that.
One of the things with Stutzman, Bob wasn't there when he got picked, but he told us the story because I asked him, how you got out of Florida? And he sort of lived in an affluent neighborhood. And he was like, you know, it still steams me today. Miami of Florida, Florida State, University of Florida. They didn't offer me a scholarship.
And he went to Oklahoma.
And he said, man, that still kind of grates me a little bit.
And it's more like, you know, because we remember great linebackers, if you're a Saints fan, like the Dawn Patrol. He's more has the body of like a Vaughn Johnson. You know, when you punch in a computer, because Sam Mills is little. We called him Field Mouse. But he had a nose for the football. But Vaughn Johnson from North Carolina State looked the part. Well, you look at Stutzman, he's 6'4", 240, 245. So, in other words, he's not no little man. He's not no little man. And, you know, physics come into play. If you're tough and you're little, you can be an outstanding player. If you're little, if you can run, you got to be fast. But if you got a little man who's not scared and they want to hit and they're bringing it, and you got a big man who's going to bring it, come on. The physics, the big man's going to win. And I think we got that in Stutzman.
The one thing when you watch Oklahoma play, almost every other play, it was either him or Billy Bowman Jr. You would figure he goes to Atlanta. But those two guys, I mean, they accounted for like 70% of the defense. I mean, they were all over the field. And Stutzman, I mean... His radar is always clicking where to go and be in the right spot.
Well, he's going to be one that is going to have, if he's playing 100 tackles. You know, like when you look at the stat, okay, who made the tackles and all that, it's going to be like 8 to 12 tackles a game. He's going to be active. He's not going to be, Stutzman disappeared. Where was he? No, that's not happening with him. Now, Pete Werner, you know, out of Ohio State, he's a younger guy. Now he's gotten hurt. But again, DeMario Davis, we all look at the acquisition of DeMario Davis, how we got from the Jets, how outstanding he's been. But he's getting a little older. So how that transition, and I just think Stutzman, again, because we did not stop the run last year. We were one before last. Carolina was dead last. We were 31, giving up 4.95 yards a run. Well, no, that's not winning football. We have to now we can give up, just knock off a yard instead of 4.95, let's say 3.95 or less. But again, I think the guys that we address this, you look at Godshaw, who we got in free agency from the Patriots at D tackle. I think Vernon Broughton, those guys are going to be the key. They might not have the numbers, but occupying linebackers, occupying linemen, so those linebackers could flow and make tackles.
The other guy too is Jonas Sanker. Look at the numbers he put up
at Virginia.
From a tackle standpoint. You would have think he was playing linebacker.
Yeah, you could put him in the box, and you might even put him in the slot. We need to talk a little bit more about him because that could be a diamond in the rough. I think it contributed and what he did at Virginia and the trust factor there.
Dave, tell everybody, I know y'all giving away the boiling pots here, right?
Oh, yeah, man, it's been big, too. We've done it before. We're giving away the big 80-quart boiling pots at 7 p.m. every Sunday through Thursday.
You know, we all love our crawfish.
And that comes with the pot, the burner, and a nice aluminum paddle.
Oh, okay, man, that's awesome.
Yeah, man.
And somebody won 10 grand over here,
oh,
right?
Oh, man, yeah. And again, it was this past Saturday night in our Roland Riches. It was William Jane from Waveland, of all places, right down the block.
Oh, that means he might be a frequent customer right
and
here.
And, all, huh? And also,
Bobby's looking around to see if he was here. And maybe alone.
All the Mondays in May, we have crawfish in the buffet from 4 to closing.
Oh, wow. So eight, crawfish right? Here,
yep.
4 to 8
yeah,
every
we do.
Monday.
And on this coming Monday for Cinco de Mayo, we're having a Cinco de Mayo party open to the public outside underneath the hotel. We have a Latin guitar player. We have our food truck serving Mexican street tacos. It'll be a lot of fun.
I see y'all got a lot of acts here on the weekends, like Friday and Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Because
it pops up on my Facebook.
No, exactly. We got some really good bands in there. We have a live band on Thursday at our Rumble on the Gulf Jeep car.
That's every Thursday?
Every Thursday from 6 to 9. It's been a great time. It's always packed with Jeeps, bikes, and cars. We have live music down there and then live music on the show bar in the casino on Friday and Saturday.
Who's playing this weekend here?
I could tell you off the top of my head.
You couldn't tell?
But Dean, I know they're good.
Yeah.
Why, you hired them?
I did, as a matter of fact.
Right. And you know, Dave, we're all looking forward to it. We're going to be getting ready for the Saints OTAs, mandatory minicamp, then training camp. And, you know, we're always here kicking off August, you know, the silver slipper for the preseason and the expectations there. So, yep. You know what? We just want us, the fans of Hoot & Dave, just have a chance, right? We just want us to have a chance.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, we'll see. I mean, we got a new coach, new life in it, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see.
We got the right coach. I don't know if we got the right team yet.
we got to get more players.
I think we got the right coach.
Dave, thanks so much for joining us.
Exactly,
always
man.
Our pleasure to be
come
here.
Come on
thanks
down
so
to the slipper.
Come on down to the Silver Slipper, Mr. Dave Hilbert. We come back. The legendary Archie Manning will join us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dettillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Waiting for us, the legendary Archie Manning. Archie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Always a pleasure, Mike. Glad to be with y'all.
Arch, I thought about you immediately when the Saints picked Tyler Shuck. I remember when he came to Manning, he was at Texas Tech. And you know how they have the printed little signs on the piece of paper about the quarterbacks when we do the interviews on Friday? I think it's from like 11 to 12. And they had his name spelled out. But then in parentheses under it, they had S-H-U-C-K. Had the pronunciation of it. I don't know why that stuck in my mind, but he's been to Manning Passing Academy a couple times. And one thing, man, he is a big dude, and he got a rifle on him.
Yeah, he is. He's a, you know, he looks like a movie star too, Mike. He's a great, great looking guy. And yeah, we had him 2 years, and I remember I just felt for him. He's real likable kid, great personality, and you know, he really enjoyed being there. Everybody enjoyed him. And gosh, he fought those injuries, which is just tough. And I thought he was going to just kind of fall by the wayside. I was so excited last year to see him at Louisville and still playing ball. And then when I saw him on the draft list, and you know, he had a good year. And yeah, it's just that's a good story right there, because he's a great young man.
You know, Archie, when I look at it, and maybe you could describe this, because you know, you and I have had a number of injuries, but I mean, when I look at, and I think it does make a difference. He said he suffered 3 season-ending injuries in college, 2 broken collarbones, 1 broken leg. He ended up ultimately playing 7 seasons at 3 different schools, but it's not like soft tissue or knee ligaments and all that, or shoulder ligaments. I mean, when you break a bone, that can heal relatively fast, you know, like, I don't know, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. But I think he even made a statement like broken bones is different than just bad luck, but there's some other type of injury.
Yeah, I think, well, you just never know. It's just, as you know, that's the worst side of football, being hurt. And bless his heart, you just, you know, what guys go through when they just, when they get injured, but then they continue to get injured just year after year. It's so frustrating. That's why I'm really, really proud of Tyler, the way he hung in there. Sometimes you get enough, you know, and you say, well, I gotta find something else to do. But it's a real testament to him that he kept fighting. And of course he wound up changing schools again, which is a pretty popular thing right now. And it's just a great story. And you know, this was, I guess, all in all, you talk to the experts, this certainly wasn't as strong a quarterback class out there this year as last year. Last year was super strong, 6 in the first round. But there were some people out there with, you know, there were kind of 4 guys that were in the talk of being maybe first or second rounders. And there were some football people out there that thought Tyler was the best of the 4. And I know Cam Ward was an All-American and went to the Heisman. It was the first pick of the – and Cam had a great year, had a heck of a career. He made a wise move not going in the draft the year before. Of course, he went down to Miami where they threw the ball all over the place. He did a great job, and – gosh, to be pick number 1. But there were some football people out there that thought Tyler was the best quarterback in this draft.
And, you know, Arch, talk about how much it makes a difference where you're playing and who's coaching you. I think, friend, it's your grandson, Arch Manning's had a great situation with Sarkisian at Texas. But, look, so was Tyler Shuck at Louisville with Jeff Brohm. It's an NFL offense. They're running an NFL offense. So it's not like the transition where you're just doing RPOs and you're really not learning how to play the quarterback position.
Yeah, I think that was super, super good. It probably had a lot to do with him, you know, what him having this good year of catching scouts and coaches' eyes and also watching him run that offense and knowing that it is, it's one that's going to be beneficial to him as he goes into pro ball.
Archie. Now, yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Archie, one of the things people bring up is about his age, and you can kind of kid him a little bit about that, but we are starting to see the last of the COVID 2020, because that counted almost like a nothing year. And it was really beneficial to Tyler because it gave him another year to prove it, but that is starting to wane away now, 2020, and that you could use that, you know, like it didn't even happen, like it was a disappear year. I think for Tyler, he couldn't have asked for anything better going from Oregon, where he was a backup to Justin Herbert. Then he goes to Texas Tech, and he had some injuries. And then coming to Louisville, the 2020 COVID year really benefited him. When I look at the draft, cap more than anybody. Now, again, some guys, they don't like the overage quarterback, but come on, today, the way you keep yourself in shape you don't get hurt, play 10 or 12 years.
And Archie, they don't hit the quarterback. I mean, so if you're 26, let's say you play 10 or 12 years, isn't that hitting the lottery for an NFL team? So 10 years, he's going to be 26 in September. He's only going to be 36. I mean, I don't know how long you played. I played till I was 37. So, I mean, look, your late 20s, early 30s, that's kind of when you peak and you know what you're doing. An NFL defense cannot fool you. So when they look at, like, they're making way. And, you know, they say, like, no one ever brought that up with Spencer Rattler. Well, when you look at it, Tyler Shuck's only 1 year older. I mean, so no one's even bringing that up.
I'm like, I don't pay attention to that. And to me, that's not a big deal. And you know, there's no assurance when sometimes you get a kid that comes out early and he says, "Oh, he's just 21 years old and all there," but still, he's probably not ready when he's 21 years old. You know, you get a 26 year old that's been had to fight through things like Tower has. You know, he's a mature kid. You know, this is a tough thing with the Saints. We don't know what's going to happen at the quarterback position. If he happened to be thrown out there, he's better prepared than most. It is tough. It's a tough transition. I don't care how old you are or how much football you've played. It's a huge step. But I think he's very qualified, and I absolutely love the pick. I thought the pick was just fantastic.
Now, Archie, when you talk about age and obviously. I mean, come on, Peyton and Eli, look where they were drafted, and now you got a grandson in Arch. And you look how much college football meant, to Peyton and Eli. I mean, people might say, well, Arch Manning, a top quarterback coming out next year. I'll say, well, I don't know, he got to play at Texas first. Let's see what's going to happen. I think that's objective. And then even if that were to occur, I mean, if I look at the track record and the patience of the Manning family, and I look at Peyton and Eli, I don't know how Cooper thinks about this. And then you look, a name, image, and likeness comes into play, so you're still being rewarded, even though you push it down the road. So I don't think there could be a scenario that would be unrealistic that Arch wouldn't come out, even though he does great at Texas next year, and maybe not until the 2027 draft.
Yeah, Bobby, there's just so much written and it's so much said. I know Texas is a big place and the university is a big school, but they got to have more radio shows, more podcasts, more social media coming out of there than any place in the world. And it's kind of ridiculous, as we all know sometimes, what the headline says and then what the story really is. But it's really ridiculous to make all those assumptions about next year. He's ready to play college football, and he's just now. He got thrown in there a little bit, kind of like Sark said, that was advantageous to him. But still, he hadn't played a lot of college football, and that's hopefully he can stay healthy and do that. His uncles played a lot of college. Peyton was a 4-year guy. Eli was a 5-year guy, and. It's nothing wrong with that. You never know this day and time. But I know he loves where he is. I know he loves playing, and he's not thinking about the NFL right now. He's thinking about having to go to Columbus, Ohio on August 30th. That's things foremost on his mind right now.
The good news is, Arch, a lot of those guys that would have been in Columbus, Ohio, they're not playing in the NFL with 14 draft choices. Oh my God!
Yeah, they had a good football team, and I knew they had a lot of age on that team. 14 of them got picked Saturday. That's a real compliment to the coaching staff there at Ohio State and in that program. I think they were forward. I believe Georgia had 13, which is no surprise. They've been doing that for years. Alabama didn't have as many as they usually have. Texas had 12, which is, I think, 2 years in a row. Sark's had double figures. It does say something about your program. And, you know, when Sark went there, he took over, and kind of changed the culture. He struggled a little bit in his first year, but that's a compliment to your program. By the way, I know y'all will probably get to it, but this is a big old good looking kid that is coming in here to play wherever he plays, probably left tackle for the Saints, Kelvin Banks. And not only we know he's an outstanding player, the Saints wouldn't have picked him at that point. But last year, it wasn't in the draft savvy. It was last year during the first part of the year, I asked Arch about his left tackle, Kelvin Banks, and he said he's a great player, and he's the best guy on our team. So that says a lot about Kelvin Banks.
Arch, that's what I was going to ask you about, because I know you got to see Kelvin Banks Jr. play so much. And when you play in left tackle, it's like playing cornerback. You out on an island. They're not giving you a lot of help. And you one-on-one most of the time with the other team's opposing top pass rusher. And one of the things I heard so much about Kelvin was he's such a kind of quiet guy, but the leader in the locker room also.
Yeah, I need to tell the young guys, no, we don't do that here. And take that leadership role and be the perfect example of how you go about your business.
Just so many good things that I've heard about him. I heard Coach Sarkisian, I heard Cal Flood say the same thing about him. But I remember that distinctly when Arch told me that last year. He said he's the best guy on our team. And that's a little compliment. He's going to be a fine addition. We get these last two picks in the O-line that the Saints have had, get those guys at the cornerstone of the offense and fill it in right there, you can have something. But that was a good pick. That was a really good pick. Outstanding guy.
You know, Arch, when I look at, like, Tyler Shuck, public perception does make a difference. You know, now with social media and how you present yourself and what's out there. I just want your opinion on this, because like Tyler Shuck, you can tell a mature individual. He says, my goal is to come in there, that being with the Saints, and compete and do everything I can to make the team better. But then when you look at like maybe what Shedeur Sanders was dealing with, and that maybe outside influences that might be involved, and who comes along with Shedeur Sanders. Because the one thing I know, if he's not the guy or your quarterback, and you're the backup quarterback, or you're just trying to make an NFL team. A lot of teams don't want a celebrity if you're not the starter. And what I mean by that, Tim Tebow.
Yeah. Tim Tebow?
Tim Tebow's a distraction. He wasn't even an NFL quarterback. But you look what ended up happening with that, and I look with Shedeur Sanders, what comes to the table with that. I think a lot of NFL teams, they kind of weigh the pros and the cons of that and what you're dealing with.
Yeah, you make a good point there, and I agree with your team talent. That can be a problem. It was with Denver when Tim was there. It just didn't work. It just did not work. So, no, I like the situation here all the way through. You know, I know my Ole Miss guy got picked at the end of the first round, but going up to New York, I don't know how long it'll be before he'll be a starting quarterback. Could be a good while. Who's to say? But I like this pick that the Saints had, and I'm a big fan of Towers. He's always impressed me.
Arch, one of the guys, and you and I have talked about this, and he won't have to wait long, and that's Cam Ward. And I told you this story. First time I met him, I'm on the sidelines. Incarnate Word is playing nickels, and he's got a couple of family members walk straight to me. And he's like, Mike DiTerio. I was like, yeah, man, we listen to you all the time on WWL. And they were like, my nephew's the starting quarterback in Incarnate Word. And I'm like, okay. And he was so humble about it. Now, you could see he was a tilt-the-field guy. I told this to Coach Rebo, you won't have to worry about playing him too many more times. He's going somewhere else. And he goes to Washington State, and he ends up at Manning. And he was so humble about the fact I was a zero recruit, and he becomes the first overall pick in the draft. You talk about a great story. That's a great story.
And you know, Archie, there's something about just being humble. Listen, you don't have to toot your own horn. Just go kick ass on the field, and people will tell you how good you are. So you know how this day and age, I think a lot of youngsters and all, they're a big part of social media, TikTok and all. They want to tell the world how many likes they get. I want to go viral and how everybody thinks about me. To me, that's, I don't know, that's the worst thing about the 21st century. I'm just talking about purely from a football perspective, where just be humble, because the NFL will humble you, and just play, then you don't have to say anything, and just go get the job done.
Well, isn't it just, I was thinking about it today, of course, it was magnified this year with this Shedeur Sanders story. And look, you know, I'm a big fan of the NFL and how popular the game is, and just look what they've done with the draft. You know, I still get funny when some young gal say to me, Mr. Manning, so you went to New York for the draft, huh? I said, yeah, I went to New York for the draft, really. Nobody went to New York for the draft back in my day, except maybe the equipment manager from the team who called in the picks. You know, that's all it was. But what I'm saying, it's just amazing what the draft has become.
Really? Oh, no, it's prime time. I mean,
it's just incredible.
Well, you know, in Arch, you know, God rest his soul, Dan Simmons passed away. I can remember Dan Simmons going to the draft. Remember when you used to have those football helmet phones? And then Dan Simmons would be answering the phone, like, who the Saints were going to pick. It just shows you how far things have come.
I was thinking about the same thing, Bobby. God, rest in peace, Chief. I'm telling you, we miss him. But he was the man they set up there. And then other teams sent their equipment manager. But what the draft has become with the mock drafts leading up to it. I mean, how many 100,000 people did they have in Detroit last week? And you saw that crowd in Green Bay and what the NFL has done with it. It's just unbelievable. And in TV, all the way through, it is just really, really something. And sometimes I think it's almost too much. You know, I think about, you know, I really felt for Quinn Ewers. You know, when you got a big family waiting around and it doesn't happen, it's a tough, tough deal. You know, I've told people about it's going to New York now. I said, if you don't know you're going to be picked in that first round, you better off staying at home. No sense sitting in that room and going through that.
Arch, I'll never forget you telling me the story about how you found out you got selected. They had to pull you out of class at Ole Miss to tell you.
I forgot about the draft. Now, I got married on January 21st, but I got drafted by the Saints on January 28th. Well, that was just 25 days after I'd played my last college game. And I'd been to the Hula Bowl. I'd gotten married. We'd been on a little honeymoon. I just forgot about it. And it just wasn't that big a deal in those days. It was a big deal, but it nothing to compare the way it is and the way it's become through the years.
Arch, you're looking at where the Saints are at. And it doesn't mean they're going to win anything, but, you know, you think they'd be trending in the right direction. When you're coming off only 5 wins, if the team was 8-9 next year and they win 3 more games, and that's nothing to get the Houdat Nation excited about, 8-9. But you have to look how the team is trending and going forward. But I don't know. We might be looking for a quarterback again next year. You know, we're always trying to get that right. And, you know, I always say this, you never want to be the man to follow the man. How, you know, the Dolphins, well, who's going to be the next Dan Marino after John Elway? Well, it took bringing a veteran like Peyton Manning to take over John Elway, and then now Sean Payton got Bo Nix. But I look at Drew Brees. I think one of the worst things that has happened to Derek Carr, because the expectations, who's going to be that next guy that's going to produce like Drew Brees in a Saints uniform? I think that's the pressure right now.
That's tough, and it's tough. I like our new coach. I just have a good feeling that Kellen Moore is a coach. He's young, and you know how it's always going to be struggles along the way. But I like where we are right there, and hopefully can put a good, healthy team out there this year and progress and win some football games.
Arch, thanks so much for joining us. Before we blink our eyes, good, it'll be Manning Passing Academy. We'll be in July.
We got a good group coming, Mike. I got 25 on the line. We got some. I didn't have but two turners out of all the kids invited. I didn't have but two turners down. One of them was there last year. I'm not gonna tell you his name. I said, why aren't you coming? He said, it's too hot.
That's great. Archie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Really appreciate it.
Take care, Bobby.
All right, Archie.
Archie Manning. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, it's our Bet 365 triple option feature. I'll go first with this. Man, just a couple years after winning a national championship in baseball, Chris Lemonis was released by Mississippi State today. Goes to show you better win and win now in college baseball in the SEC.
And that's in Stark Vegas, Starkville, right?
The only national championship in school history. And he gets pink slip today. So Mississippi State is now looking for a new head baseball coach. Bobby?
Mike, I've said this, and I'm going to say a couple of things. You look at LSU, and, boy, they had a whole lot of players getting drafted but not making the postseason. You know, when you think about that, do you know that LSU had four offensive linemen taken in the same draft for the first time since 1947, post-World War II. Now, think about it. 1947, the first time LSU has had four offensive linemen in the same draft for the first time. So, is it based on potential? Wouldn't you say, like, well, damn, this should have been LSU's best offensive line ever? They couldn't run block. Now, pass block. But they were so inconsistent. Who's the damn offensive line coach at LSU?
Brad Davis.
Oh, okay, well, don't you have to hold Coach Kelly hold his feet to the fire? Can you push the right buttons? Because when I read that, LSU has not had four offensive linemen taking the same draft as the first time since 1947. So, Mike, and you look at LSU overall. We get Spall. Once you win national championships, you know, we look like Billy Cannon when they won, and then when Coach Saban came in the 21st century, how much success LSU football has had. So you look at the drafts, and you on top of that. LSU has now produced, I said this, I think it might have been on the first draft show, LSU has now produced a top five pick in six of the past seven NFL drafts. That would be Campbell, now who just got picked, linebacker Devin White, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Jane Daniels. Given LSU the most top five picks from one school in that span, look at the great Ohio State. You look how good where Texas is coming up. In that span, Ohio State is second with five, but LSU has had six top five picks in the past seven NFL drafts and the offensive line. So I'd have to say right now, under Coach Kelly, post Coach O national championship, they've underachieved. We didn't take advantage of Jane Daniels.
Think of that. Will Campbell was the first-round pick offensive lineman selected since Fanica Allen back in 1998.
He was in the 20s, right?
1998. But think about it. They won a national championship with Nick Saban, won a national championship with Coach Miles. They lost a national championship with Coach Miles. They won a national championship with Coach O. They win four national championship games. How many first-round pick offensive linemen? Zero.
And then this year, I mean,
four picked in 1 year.
No,
and one, you know, that early first-round pick.
We weren't even in the SEC championship.
And just think if you Ole Miss in South Carolina, we're saying the same thing if we're doing talk show radio there. Look
right,
all the
right.
people that we didn't hit on.
So I'd say Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss underachieved. I mean, that's just what happened.
Charlie?
Guys, I'm going LSU baseball, taking 2 of 3 from Tennessee in a top 10 showdown at the box this past weekend. Vaults them from number 7 to number 2 in D1 baseball's most recent top 25 poll. It's because a lot of crazy things happened this weekend with Clemson going 1-3 during the week. Oregon State, who was number 3, fell off. Like, all these top teams really slid. And LSU taking 2 of 3 from a good Tennessee team this weekend put them all the way up to number 2. If you're looking at the SEC standings right now, guys, LSU 14-7 overall has them tied for second in the conference, only behind Texas. and Texas is sitting at 19-2 in Jim Schlossnagel's first season. And to your point, Mike, about Chris Lemonis, he was kind of on the hot seat for the last couple of years. They're off to a 7-14 start in SEC play. It's not the most, you know, surprising thing in the world that the Bulldogs moved on.
And, yeah. And Charlie,
and you wonder about what happens at Ole Miss.
Yeah, no, Charlie, is it right now? That's a battle. I don't know. Educate me. I might be misspeaking here. But is it like SEC baseball? Well, look how competitive that is, how they always rank. Is it like the Aggies or the Longhorns right now, Texas A&M, Texas? Well, so, what's your take on where we're at right now?
Texas just swept Texas A&M over the weekend, and Texas A&M was hot. LSU's heading to Texas A&M this upcoming weekend, but they're kind of in the middle of the SEC at 8-13 right now. The top of the SEC, Texas is 19-2. Arkansas and LSU are tied for second at 14-7, and then you have Tennessee at 13-8, Ole Miss at 12-4. Vanderbilt, you know, Alabama, Georgia, all these teams kind of stockpiled in the middle at like 12-4 and then 11-10.
Well, it just shows you like how baseball, like Mississippi State, expectations, Ole Miss, whatever, priorities. Just look at LSU. No one saw that coming when they went to Auburn. And how and all of a sudden Auburn's baseball, Alabama, how it's a priority. No, SEC baseball to me might be more tougher than SEC
it
football.
Is. Think of Paul.
SEC baseball.
I think about Paul Mineri. I know Paul wanted to coach again, and Coach Mineri is, man, Mike, I'm so thrilled to be back in coaching, and look what's happened this year.
And South Carolina traditionally has won national championships. They've been awesome, but look where they're at. Were they ahead of Missouri and somebody?
That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. Finishing it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk. Second guest right after that 6 o'clock hour break. We'll come back. Two more hours of second guest right here on the Big 870 WWL.